Well, good morning to you all, and welcome to our worship here in Chelmsford, whether you're here in person, whether you're watching from your home, you're equally welcome to our meeting here in Chelmsford this morning. Just a few announcements for you. First of all, just to say that the Safe and Sound video, which was going to be shown after the meeting this morning, has been postponed because the Corps officers are away today. So we'll get revised information to you when that's available. Can I also say that the weekly bulletin is available to you either by email, by post, or you can pick one up here in the hall, and that gives you details of all the activities in the Corps, including the online Lent Bible study, which starts on Monday the 13th of March. And we would invite you to join us for that if you can. And also there is the prayer list, and I would ask you please to look at the names of those on the prayer list and just uphold them in prayer day by day, week by week. Just a little message about the prayer list. Sometimes people say, why isn't so-and-so on the prayer list? Because of GDPR, we can only put people on the prayer list with their permission. So sometimes people may have a problem, but they're not on the prayer list because we're not allowed to do that. But if you're aware of people with issues, then please uphold them in your prayers. Well, we've had the song introduced for our opening song, the music. It's song number 25, God's Love to Me is Wonderful. God's love to me is wonderful that he should deign to hear the faintest whisper of my heart, wipe from mine eyes the tear. And though I cannot comprehend such love, so great, so deep, in his strong hands my soul I trust, he will not fail to keep. We'll sing the three verses, but let me just draw your attention to verse 2 in particular. His love has banished every fear, it says, in freedom I rejoice. And that's really the theme of our meeting this morning. We have freedom because of Jesus Christ coming into our lives. So we'll stand and we'll sing the three verses straight through, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. In a moment, we're going to sing together a more prayerful song, song number 353, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. And after that, I'm going to be joined by one of our five new junior soldiers, Katie, and she's going to share a little prayer of her own, and then I will share a prayer with you too to open our meeting this morning. So we remain seated, but let's sing together song number 353. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. He's here now. He's here already. And we just need to tune into him, a bit like tuning in the radio. Okay, so let's just sing that together, and then Katie will come up. Shall we pray? That was beautiful. Thank you very much, Katie. And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you today because we are a needy people. We need you in our lives, Lord. And we thank you that you are such a wonderful God. We thank you that you have created us. We thank you for the world that you've created around us. And even though we see so much in the world which we realise is not good, we think of Turkey, we think of the thousands, tens of thousands of people who have been killed in that earthquake. We think of the conflict in Ukraine. We think of Syria and all that's going on in places in this world where we just despair sometimes, Lord. And we pray that you will be in and with all those people who are suffering in any way, not just in those countries, but across the world and in this country too. Those people who are suffering because of energy prices, because of the cost of living rises, because of reducing salaries. There is so much going on around us, Lord, which is not good. But a lot of that we understand is because of the way we are as human beings, because of our free will and the way we use it. So we just pray, Lord, that today we will be inspired by your word to do what we can do. It may only be a small amount, but to do what we can do to make this world a better place, to help you in your work of making this place better. So be with us in our meeting, Lord, we pray. Be with those who are unwell, and we pray for recovery, Lord. Be with those who are away on holiday. May they have good time and recreation. And be with us, Lord, that we may be attentive to your word and that we may be responsive to it today. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to have a look at the self-denial video for today, which features Moldova and the Salvation Army's work there. The actual altar service, the time that we have the opportunity to give, is on the 5th of March, but all of this is designed just to sort of give us an idea as to how our money will be spent and the sort of needs that we are able to help meet. So let's watch the video and look forward to the 5th of March when we can make our contribution. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to the third of our films for this year's Self-Denial Appeal.
Now, I have been told that the microphone that Katie was using was dead. So most of you won't have heard her, and that's a shame because she did so well. So I'm wondering, Sue, would you bring Katie up again, and do you think you could read that prayer again, Katie, because you did it so well, and I'd love people to actually hear it this time, all right?
Dear Jesus, thank you for the amazing beauty of the world you created. Help us to care for it. Thank you for all the wonderful, special people you have made. Help us to care for each other. Thank you for the lovely, tasteous foods you give us. Help us to care for those who are hungry. Thank you for the amazing stories in the Bible. Help us to share the good news with everyone. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Well, it has been great over recent years to welcome Raina and Nadia into our corps. Nadia is actually from Moldova, and that's not the reason I've asked her to speak today. She may want to mention something about Moldova in her little talk to you, but I've asked her to share something of her faith journey. So she's told me it's only going to be about 25 minutes. So.
Good morning, and once again, my name is Nadia. For those of you who haven't met me yet, I do come from Moldova, but that would be only since 1991. Before then, I actually was born in the country that no longer exists. And sometimes when I see the question, please name your nationality at birth, the nationality that I was doesn't appear on it because the country no longer exists. It was the Soviet Union. And I was born in the last decade of the existence of the Soviet Union. And my first 10 years of life fell on the last 10 years of the existence of that country. When Ralph asked me to share a testimony, I said, sure, I will be happy to do so, no problem. while in my mind I was already all over the place and on the brink of panic. What shall I talk about? Where do I even begin? There appears to be so much to be said about the life that is not too very long, but sufficiently long to actually have a lot of points of interest on its map, each one deserving a lot of attention. But today, in light of this special attention given to Moldova, I will be focusing on my arrival in Moldova and in the Salvation Army. So, like I said, I was born in the Soviet Union, more specifically in Russian Federation, and I was born into a Russian-Ukrainian family, which fell apart shortly after my arrival. So I lived in Russia together with my mother and older brother until 1991, when the country was on the verge of collapse. And this is when my mother, Ukrainian by birth, suddenly had a powerful urge to return to her home country, and she was actively searching a way to do so. She sought a suitable apartment exchange, which was possible at the time, with Ukraine, but didn't find anything suitable, and instead she found something in Moldova, in the capital of Moldova, Chisinau. So in October 1991, we landed in Chisinau, which was to be our home country for the next many years. In December, on December the 25th, 1991, Moldova gained its independence, and the following day, the USSR was dissolved. That's what happened. And the collapse of the Soviet Union was like a landslide on an unthinkable scale, and it brought about a sure political and economic crisis, chaos, confusion, and turmoil. At the time, of course, I was too little to realize how very, very worried my mother was about my future, and how much she actually prayed for me, even when she was not religious and never went to church. And yet it was my mother who first told me about Jesus, the little that she knew about his story, and she even taught me a very simple prayer, the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I took it to heart as a child and experienced firsthand God's power to protect those who ask. The nightmares I had suffered from for a very long time stopped once I began to pray, wholeheartedly trusting that Jesus would hear me. Albeit Bibles as such were not freely available in the USSR, because, of course, there people were told that God doesn't exist, Mother found a book of illustrated Bible stories for children. She gave it to me for my 10th birthday, imploring me to read it. God's love trickled down to us amid chaos, very much like in Joy Webb's song. In the pain, in the doubt, in the loneliness, in the struggle of right against wrong, somewhere amidst the confusion, there will be hope, there will be love, there will be God. And there was plenty of chaos and confusion, but God was there indeed. When in Moldova, with no job prospects, Mother used her right to retire shortly after her move, and we relied solely on her small pension for a living, while I still had a good 7 years of school ahead of me. In Moldova, we were completely alone, with the only distant relatives living in Ukraine. On the upside, the collapse of the Soviet Union brought about religious freedom, with all restrictions now lifted and persecution stopped, and many, many Christian denominations able to come in and minister to people in the former Soviet Union. This is when the Salvation Army appeared in our life. The mission was planted right within a walking distance from where we lived, only we couldn't see it right away. It was tucked into a high-rise building of offices in the former, in what used to be a cinema theater. However, the world about it came to me from two of my classmates, who described the Salvation Army as a humanitarian organization distributing free food and clothing and offering young people opportunities to get involved in various activities, which might even include special events in Moscow. I'm not sure which one I was excited about more, free food and clothing or a trip to Moscow, but I was now curious to come and see for myself what it was like. There was one condition: anyone interested had to attend a meeting on Sunday. This was in 1994. When mother and I arrived one Sunday, we were in for a right culture shock. A large audience in what used to be a cinema, with two English-speaking people dressed in what looked like military uniform, and their interpreter on the platform leading the audience in praise and worship, with marches and congregational singing, glorifying God and the blood of the Lamb, with the most memorable song of the day being "This is the Day," followed by a characteristic chant that you might only hear at football matches. I was prepared to leave, but Mother suggested that we stay till the end to avoid drawing everyone's attention. However, as we were about to leave at the end, the attention found us at the door. The two people in uniform from the platform were Majors Wes and Ruth Sandin from the United States Western Territory, warmly greeted us and all newcomers and invited us to stay for a few minutes. A dozen of us sat on the front row, and Major Sandin went from one to another, introducing himself and saying how happy he was to see us all, and giving each one of us a ginormous bar of Milka chocolate, the biggest Milka chocolate I had ever seen at that time. I suspect it was his secret tool as a fisher of men, because it certainly did break the ice and got our attention. We were ready to listen. Next was an invitation to come to the meeting again, and in between to Bible studies, youth meetings, English lessons, and recruit studies introducing the Salvation Army. This was a game changer for my mother, who had expressed a great interest in the Bible studies. In fact, when we attended the very first one, Major Sandin were giving away very large Bibles in Russian to anyone willing to take them. And Mother was very, very willing, as she had long wanted to read the Bible, but had not had the opportunity because there were none available. She enjoyed the Bible studies very much, as the approach taken was very appealing to her. An open presentation and discussion in simple and often entertaining terms, free of any pressure or rituals that you find in a traditional Orthodox church, and of course, free of charge. Lovely. What more could one ask for? In her lifetime, Mother read the Bible four times, taking plenty of notes each time. The Salvation Army was a novelty and a great find. We kept coming back and eventually completed the recruit studies, followed by the decision to enroll as soldiers in April 1995. I just turned 14 years old, and I bypassed the junior soldier stage. The Salvation Army became part of my life for all the years that followed, with plenty of ups and downs, exciting developments, as well as great disappointments, but always with God's presence. Mother once said that had we stayed in Russia, we would not have come across the Salvation Army anytime soon. The fact that the Salvation Army landed so close to us in Chisinau was no coincidence in our understanding, but one of God's mysterious ways to reach out to us and bless us. Mother and I were always together, as we only truly had each other. We wound up all the way in the United States, where I enjoyed a fantastic opportunity to complete my university studies at a Christian university, graduating as a Bachelor of Arts in Music Education in 2006. I spent altogether 5 years in San Diego, California, with Mother at my side during the last 2 years. It was truly devastating for me to lose her back in 2013, when she suddenly passed away on a warm and sunny day in April that year in our flat in Chisinau, following long-term health issues. A loss I will never get over, albeit I learned to live with it, just as so many other people do. Mother never made it back to Ukraine, sadly, where she had really wanted to be, and that was absolutely heartbreaking for me, on top of the fact that I was now completely on my own. I needed God like never before. Now I truly knew what it felt like, and I prayed a lot, and I asked God to stay by my side and guide me, because I did not see a way forward and how I could possibly navigate my life. I remembered someone's suggestion to pray about something and then randomly open the Bible and read the first verses that you might see, to allow God to speak to you through the scripture. I never took it seriously, as it was a bit like fortune-telling, in my understanding, but then I decided to give it a go at that time. I opened the Bible and read the first verse that I could see. It was Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Full stop. And this did not look random at all at the time. Whether it was just a coincidence or not, I just truly believed that God just spoke to me in a very concise, very simple way, right to the point. He was with me, and I did not need to be anxious about my future anymore. Following the loss of my mother, I found work in car sales, which sustained me for almost 2 years, following which I landed a job at the Salvation Army's THQ in Eastern Europe territory, following their relocation from Russia to Moldova in 2015. I was offered the role of a secretary translator, which was a blessing and a fantastic experience for me. Early in the summer that year, I attended the Boundless Congress in London as part of the Moldovan delegation. The event was both traumatic and fateful. Traumatic because I hurt my foot on the first day of the 5-day visit and ended up wearing a boot and walking on crutches for a month. Fateful because this event triggered a new development in my life. In a most mysterious way, I must say, I met Major Rainer Nadler and his lovely daughter Stephanie, or rather the other way around. First his lovely daughter Stephanie, and then him. But Rainer and I ended up getting married. I am making a long story very, very short. to save you all. And I made my big new move, from Moldova to the UK this time, in November 2016. The whole event certainly deserves its own special attention as a very big and important milestone and a point of interest on the map of my life. One thing is sure, God's provision in all the developments in my life, my London chapter being the most recent one. Looking back at the past few years, I find a strange confirmation that my life has a purpose, something I regularly doubted, and that God has plans for me yet. I strongly suspect that if I had stayed in Moldova this time, I would have not survived COVID, considering the fragile state of my health and lack of access to good quality health care at the time. 1 year, I came down with the flu 4 times, and I was en route to continue in that fashion. It has taken some time to realize and appreciate the work of God in my life, and it's really, really big. It's really huge. He has always been watching over me, even when I could not see and appreciate it right away. God does care for me, and my life does have a purpose, even when I often doubted it in my frustration and confusion. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:11. And the song today that we sang earlier also summarizes it quite well. God's love to me is wonderful. My very steps are planned. When mists of doubt encompass me, I hold my Father's hand. His love has banished every fear. In freedom I rejoice. And I just, I think it fits very, very well with the story of my life, as best as I could share it in this short format. And I hope that God will watch over Moldova that I left behind, and that he will continue to bless the big work that the Salvation Army is doing there now at this very difficult time. It is a sad thing that the Soviet Union continues to have its impact on the world in such a disturbing way, even when it no longer exists. But I must say that the story of my personal life should be a testimony to everyone about how God can love and guide and answer your prayers once you call on him. Thank you for listening to me today.
Thank you, Nadia. That was really helpful and from the heart. Lovely to hear. And now we're going to listen to the songsters, if we may, who are going to sing Worthy to Praise. So our glorious God, three in one. Don't let the children go. We need them. We need them right now. Children, do come and help me with a children's story, please. Would you like to come up to the platform? We're going to do a little bit of an experiment. There we go. It's nice to see so many of you at the end of half term. You're all looking forward to going back to school, of course. Good. Nice to see a few nods. Mind the flowers. That's it. If you come round here, William. That's it. Right. So, what have I got there? A jug of water. Now, water's all around us, isn't it? We get it out the tap, We find it in ponds, we find it in the sea, we find it in lakes, we find it in all sorts of different places. It comes up in springs, all sorts of places. What can you do with water? Somebody tell me, will you?
Drink it.
You can drink it, that's one thing.
Swim in it.
You can swim in it. Anybody else? Anything you can do with water?
You can wash in it. Okay, so that's water. Now, what happens to water if you make it really, really cold? Bella?
It turns into ice.
It turns into ice. So, what have I got here?
Ice.
Ice. Now, what can you do with ice?
Put it in drinks to make them cold.
Right, you can put it in drinks to make them cold. What else can you do, Aurelia?
Have it in a lemonade.
Absolutely, you can have it in lemonade. It's lovely, isn't it? And Jojo?
Ice skate in it.
Yeah, you can ice skate on it. That's right. Well, you couldn't do any of that on water, could you? You can only do it on ice. And it's also a preservative, isn't it? If you go to the market, you'll find there's a fish stall, and all the fish are buried in ice to keep them fresh. Okay? Now then, what about if we make water very, very hot? I'm not going to do it. Health and safety and all that. But if you put water in that kettle and it had a wire attached to it, and I switched it on, what would happen?
It would be hot.
It would be hot? And what happens to hot water? What does it do?
It boils.
Boils, and when it boils, what happens to it?
It turns into gas.
Turns into steam, doesn't it? Into vapour. Now, even if I had a jug for it, and the kettle was boiling, I would struggle to get steam into one of these jugs, wouldn't I? Because steam is not like that. And what can you do with steam that you can't do with ice and that you can't do with water? Any ideas? Well, Sandra?
You can breathe it in.
You can breathe it in. Yeah, sometimes if you've got a bad chest, you know, it's good to breathe in some vapour. Yeah? Yeah, okay. You see, I'm very old. And when I was at school, I lived in Witten, and I went to school in Chelmsford. And the way I got from Witten to Chelmsford was on a train. And in those days, they had steam locomotives. So just with the power of steam, the vapour that comes out when you boil a kettle, that was enough to actually pull a train of 12 coaches. Would you believe it? Just steam. It's incredible, isn't it, how powerful steam is. But the interesting thing, of course, about steam is you can't really see it, not very clearly, can you? You can't touch it, you can't grab hold of it, but it's very powerful. Now, we believe, as the songsters sang, that God is in three persons. So let's say that this is God, all right? So God is water, and let's say that Jesus is the ice, because he came to us in solid form, didn't he? He came as a man, and let's say that that's the Holy Spirit, because that's a bit vapory, isn't it? And we can't really grab hold of it. We can't necessarily see it, but we can see what it does. A bit like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. But it's all water. It all came out the same tap. So it's not really any different in that sense. So you see, what happened is that God comes to us in three different ways. Now God, this one, the water, he gave us the rule book. He said, here you are, this is how you lead your life. These are the things you should do. These are the things you shouldn't do. And we weren't always very good at it. So he said, okay then, you're right. Along comes Jesus. And what does Jesus come for?
To make everyone good again.
Yeah, to actually show us by example how we should live our lives. He was man as God intended man to be, or woman as God intended woman to be. Okay, but eventually, of course, Jesus went up to be with his Father in heaven, but he left something behind. What did he leave behind? The steam, which we said is a bit like the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you see, the difference is the Holy Spirit can actually live inside us. And the Holy Spirit can say, don't do as I say, or don't watch and just follow what I show you. Just listen to me day by day, and I'll take you along. I'll show you the way. So that's what this is all about. And later on, when you're out of here and all the grown-ups are getting bored in the sermon, that's what I should be talking about in a bit more detail. So thank you all for your help. Now, I can see Roma at the back of the hall. Would somebody like to give Aurelia? Would you like to give those to your mum? Because they're to be distributed to all the children after the meeting, all right? Thank you very much for your help. So let's sing again. It's song number 329 in our songbooks, and very much focused on the Holy Spirit. Who is it tells me what to do and helps me to obey? Who is it plans the route for me and will not let me stray? Who is it tells me when to speak and what I ought to say? That's the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of the Lord in me. Shall we stand and sing those verses through, please? Thank you. So for our Bible reading this morning, we have one long reading and one very short one. The longer one is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 25, and then we just have one verse from John. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out,
or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And then John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we'll return to those readings a little bit later. We'll take up the offering now, if we may, and while we're doing that, we will just sing twice over number 305 in the songbook. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Thank you. And now we'll listen, please, to the message from the senior band, My Father's World.
Thank you.
Well, for my talk this morning, I thought I'd start with the creation story in Genesis and end up with the fruits of the Spirit in Paul's letter to the Galatians. I can see the look of sheer horror on your faces and everybody looking anxiously at their watch. And if you're on YouTube, don't switch off. It won't take that long. God created the world and everything within it, including us. And he gave us, as human beings, free will. Now, that was a little bit of a disaster, really, because throughout history, starting with Adam and Eve, mankind has not been very good at using free will in the right way. So along came the rule book, Ten Commandments, handed to Moses. And that wasn't really enough, so added to the Ten Commandments were another 613 specific rules laid out in the first five books of the Old Testament. But that wasn't enough either, because how do you define all these rules and regulations? So along came the Jewish leaders and the rabbis and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they defined them and they added more and more and more. Just to give you a simple example, the Ten Commandments say, keep the Sabbath holy, thou shalt not work. Okay, so what does work mean? So the Jewish leaders had to come up with a definition. What is work? What can you do? What can't you do on the Sabbath? They decided that work included carrying things. So you're not allowed to bear a burden, to carry anything on the Sabbath. And believe it or not, that includes the key to your front door. So if you're an Orthodox Jew, even today, if you leave your house on the Sabbath to go to the synagogue, you have to either leave the door open or you have to leave somebody in the house to let you back in because you're not allowed to carry the key. And that applies to the people that you're with as well, not just you. So you cannot drive, and by the same token, you cannot be driven. So you can't get in a car on the Sabbath. And that's why you'll find that most Orthodox Jewish communities live within walking distance of the synagogue. You're not supposed to use electricity. You're not supposed to light a fire. You're not supposed to cook or to bake. And so it goes on and on and on. The rules really got so long, so complex, and so difficult to follow that they became a real burden to people. And people study them even today to find out exactly what they can and cannot do. And it became a real burden upon them. So along came Jesus. So we've done the Old Testament. That's that bit done. Along comes Jesus, and he gave us a much simpler rule. And that appears in Matthew 22:37-39, where Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. Oh, that's a lot simpler, isn't it? Not easy to do, but a lot easier to understand. And in fact, it's a strapline that we adopted in the core years ago, 15 or more years ago, and it now appears on the national banner. Love God, love others. So that's what drives us as an organisation. As well as clarifying the law and making that a lot simpler, he also came to lead by example, to show us man as God intended man to be. And many of us, perhaps years ago, will have worn the old wristband, you know, WWJD. Did anybody wear that? And that stood for what would Jesus do? And the idea was that if you were in a difficult situation or you weren't sure what the right thing to do was, you would ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? So he came to give us an example. We still struggled. And of course, eventually Jesus went to be with his Father. But he didn't leave us alone, did he? Because although the Holy Spirit had existed right from the beginning of time, in the early days, in Old Testament days, the Holy Spirit only appeared to certain selected people for a particular purpose. But once Jesus went up to heaven, the Holy Spirit became available to every one of us. And the Holy Spirit comes along and says, look, let me into your life. I'm not going to push in. You've got to make room for me. But come into my, if you let me come into your life, I will hold your hand and guide you and help you to make the right decisions. So just to illustrate that again in a more secular way, has anybody not bought an IKEA flat pack furniture? Yeah, I think most of us have at some point, haven't we? So you open the box, don't you, and you have all these different bits and pieces, and you lay them all out in some sort of order, and you get the instruction book out, and actually IKEA instructions are not bad. But even so, it's very easy to get it wrong because you get screws of different lengths, you get different shaped bolts, you get different panels. And perhaps I'm the only one, but I usually get about 80% of the way through before I realise that I put one panel in upside down or back to front. So you then have to dismantle it again and start again. Well, that's a bit like the rule book, isn't it? If we're just following the rules, it can be quite tricky. What does help sometimes, not just with IKEA furniture, but anything where you're not really quite sure what to do, some kind soul will be on YouTube and you can find out, you can watch the demonstration, can't you? This is how you do it. So you watch it and you think, oh, I've got it now. You turn it off, you start work and you think, no, I haven't. I still can't do it. And how much easier it would be if we were assembling our IKEA furniture and some kind soul was just standing there at our shoulders and saying, now you want that bit and you want to put it there, you want to put that screw in, that bolt in, do that one first, then that one, then stand it up and so on. We'd find it a lot easier. Even I could manage that. And that's a bit like the three-in-one that we talked about earlier with the children. God gave us the rule book. Jesus demonstrated and showed us what to do. The Holy Spirit enables us to do what we do. So then to Galatians. The letter to the Galatians was written to a church made up of converted Jews and Gentiles, non-Jews who had found the Christian faith. And Paul was telling the new converts that they were free from the requirements of the Jewish law. But the teaching of the Jewish laws was telling them different. Just imagine if you've been brought up all your life with a particular rule set, a particular tradition, particular value scales and all the rest of it. And then somebody says, oh, forget about all that. You don't need to worry about that. I'm showing you a new way. With the best will in the world, we'd probably struggle to push aside all the old baggage and just accept that this is a new way forward. Matthew 23, verse 4. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Here he's talking about the Jewish leaders and all these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rules and regulations, and saying these are just a burden on people. They're not doing anybody any good. They're just distracting from the real purpose of our lives. Too many rules and regulations. And I think there's a message here for the church of today. And I'm not just talking about the Salvation Army. You know, I think as churches, all churches, we need to say, to what extent are we putting unnecessary rules, regulations, and barriers in the way of people who want to be part of this church? To what extent are we really an inclusive church? And to what extent are we trying to push people away by unnecessary rules? Jesus says in Matthew 11:30, That's not there. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what he's saying there is the yoke of the Jews, all these rules and regulations, are just burdening people, bending them down. They're struggling under the weight of it all. And he's saying, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. But we need to understand that it's not a freedom where everything goes. It is a freedom that's constrained by the fruits of the Spirit. So in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, we read the acts of the sinful nature are very obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we accept the fruit of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, we will not be led down those paths. And that's nothing to do with the rule book. That's simply because our focus now, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, is to lead a life that is in harmony with God's will. Not easy. But the fruit of the Spirit, it says in verses 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's just leave that on display. The point is that we don't need a rule book to show us the way. Jesus came to fulfill the law and to give us a new way. The Christian faith is not about rules and the thou shalt nots. It's about love for God and for each other, a positive faith filled with joy, positivity, enthusiasm. That's not true of every faith, is it? Sometimes a faith can concentrate very much on the negatives, on the things that you can't do, rather than on taking joy in the things that you can do. We are motivated and empowered by the Spirit with his fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And if we live our lives in accordance with that, then we will be fulfilling the real law, which is the one that Jesus demonstrated to us in our behaviour and in our interaction with other people. So the fruit of the Spirit and freedom in faith is what we should be proclaiming and demonstrating that through our love for God and our love for each other. So I wonder, is there anybody here today who feels constrained by rules, regulations, burdens? Do you feel free in your own spirit? Or do you feel burdened? Do you feel loved? Do you feel valued? Do you feel included? Do you want to feel more fully included and valued in this Christian church? Do you want to receive the fruit of the Spirit? Then I would say to you, it is available. And if it would help anybody to come and use our place of prayer here at the front and kneel, then please do so. And we're going to just sing quietly together song number 608, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. And while we're singing that song, if anybody would like to come forward and just say, I just need you, Lord. I need the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I need to feel that I can proclaim it, not just by what I say, but by the way I demonstrate love and care to other people. Then the opportunity is there. We'll remain seated, please. Thank you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just pray that we may indeed be a channel for your peace. We thank you, Lord, that you have lifted from us the burden of all the rules and regulations that the Old Testament people had to try to follow. And we recognise, Lord, just how unsuccessful they were, how many times the Jewish people found favour and then lost it again. And we thank you, Lord, both that you sent Jesus to set an example for us and to give us a simpler command to follow, but also, Lord, that you empower us through your Holy Spirit to be the people you want us to be. We'll never be perfect, Lord, we know that, but we know that with the help of your Spirit, with his empowering in our lives and with his fruit, we can be as near as possible to the people you want us to be, and we can be a force for good in this world of ours. So help us and inspire us, Lord, we pray, day by day. In Jesus' name. Amen. So to conclude this morning, we're going to sing song number 944 in the songbook. What can I say to cheer a world of sorrow? How bring back hope where men have sorely failed? Just where I am, I'll speak the word of comfort. Tell how for me Christ's sacrifice availed. And hopefully we all feel that we're in the place where Jesus needs us and wants us to be. Shall we stand and we'll sing the verses through, please? And now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.